let me bring you up to speed on how wave scientists nowadays understand the formation of ocean waves. It begins with the sun heating the earth, driving air pressure changes. This creates wind, initiating waves, transferring energy from air to sea. Persistent wind across an area of water, a fetch of wind sea, generates waves with a predictable range of heights. Out from under the influence of wind, waves are called swells, packets of energy that continue to travel and move in groups, sets, and trains. Significant wave height, the average of the tallest one-third of waves in an area, is picked out through wave spectra. Like many scientific things, waves are empirical and conceptual. No surprise, however, that such epistemic hybrids once made scientists nervous, even founding figure Walter Munk, who wrote, quote, "Inasmuch as these terms fetches and finite durations are really great idealizations of the wind field over the sea, to try and write spectra for given fetches and finite durations is to endow these meteorological notions with much more of a claim to reality than they deserve," unquote. So, while waves are material, they are also abstractions that take form depending on how oscillation is conceived, observed, and modeled. For real-world ocean waves, that depends on infrastructure, networks of buoys, satellites, and computer models. In the 2010s, waves are largely measured by buoys, created, owned, and operated by a collage of governments, companies, and other agencies. And this is a map from the U.S. National Data Buoy Center, worldwide buoys, not all of them owned by the United States. This is a page for the buoy that is closest to Rochester on Lake Ontario. Some buoys have webcams, like this one off the coast of Santa Barbara. On the bottom, you can sort of experiment in seeing like a buoy. Wave buoy data are also available on your phone. And I had to call today. So I phoned up the Lake Ontario buoy and was told that the waves were 3.3 feet today. So I encourage you to phone a buoy. The data that buoys gather are telemetered to computers that host models predicting swells and surges, models such as WaveWatch 3, operated by the U.S. National Weather Service. There are many other models, too, created by meteorological organizations, shipping companies, coastal infrastructure planners, fishers, boaters, surfers. What portrait of the world wavescape is conjured through this mosaic? How would one start to answer this question? I started in the Canadian Rockies at an October 2013 conference in Banff, Alberta, the 13th International Workshop on Wave Hindcasting and Forecasting, which was called Dangerous Sea States. That was the theme of the conference. There are about 80 participants, mostly from the US, Canada, France, Germany, the UK, Australia, and Japan, though a handful from such places as Mexico and Malaysia. Oceanographers, mathematicians, oil industry people, government meteorologists, all met to consider how to model and manage hazardous wave activity, particularly the kind on the rise with climate change, including storm surges consequent upon hurricanes. The workshop began, organizers observed, on the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Sandy, which brought so much devastation to New York and New Jersey. The workshop was inaugurated with a talk entitled, "Are Wave Measurements Actually Ground Truth?" Val Swale, manager of the Climate Data and Analysis Section, Environment Canada, inventoried buoys measuring waves in the world's oceans. Looking at this dizzying array of devices, Swale advised his audience with a good-humored world weariness, quote, "You need to define what a wave is before you can measure it. Is your device measuring white caps, foam, green water, blue water? And in which direction are you measuring?" Unquote. Given that a typical buoy costs around $60,000, it's worth some thought. One person joked that the directional wave rider, outfitted with an accelerometer to measure the changing speed of waves, does not always track which way is up. Quote, "So that if you give it a lateral push, it might tell you that you've got a 30-meter wave," unquote. Swale's question, how to ground truth, the ground truth about waves, was a lovely mixed metaphor. a phrasing that makes clear what practitioners are after, a point in the ocean that stays still. Computer models of wave dynamics assume a stationary sea, and a lot of work goes into factoring out the pitch, yaw, and roll of buoys so that wave data can be delivered as oscillation against a fixed baseline. As historian of computing Paul Edwards argues in A Vast Machine, his history of climate modeling, quote, data are never an abstraction, never just out there. Data remain a human creation, and they are always material. Every interface between one data process and another, collecting, recording, transmitting, receiving, correcting, storing, has a cost in time, effort, and potential, is an oxymoron. These are matters epistemic and empirical, as the next speaker at the Banff conference made clear. Elsbieta Gregersen, working for Extreme Seas, a European university consortium dedicated to ship safety design, said that there were two kinds of uncertainty in wave measurements, physical and epistemic. Epistemic includes data, statistical, model, and climatic uncertainty. Waves, I was beginning to see, flicker for these scientists between reality and representation. Waves are mashups, amalgams of watery events, instrumented captures of those events, and mathematical portraits of those events, often described statistically rather than singularly. Obviously, you cannot simulate every wave in the ocean, one researcher advised me. If, as Alexander Babanin put it in Australia, quote, wind-generated waves are the most complicated objects in the universe, probably more complex than objects in astrophysics, unquote. Waves are also complex social objects, non-humans, at once amorphous, approximated, parameterized, computerized. Mathematical representations of waves in equations are concretized in how buoys are built, in how models incorporate data. Waves are physical and cultural objects. Once waves as data are collected, transmitted from buoys, which you can phone up and which have their own IP addresses, they're fed into computer models like WaveWatch 3, a platform for forecasting. Wave data can also be, and this part's kind of trippy, it can also be rematerialized in real and simulated water tanks. So data can be re-embodied in these other forms, which suggests that waves are media. And I might mention here the fantastic work of transmedia theorist Ava Hayward and literary critic Melody Jew, who have both theorized water in aquaria and in art installations as media technology. But waves don't just get piped into models. Buoys are political objects which reside inside jurisdictions. And they get interestingly sliced up once they're in those jurisdictions. In the United States, for example, waves have been officially considered part of the weather since 1973, when the UN ratified the Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea, which tasked national meteorological rather than oceanographic agencies with wave measurements. So that if you wanted to get at the US archive or library of wave data, you would consult the National Weather Service, not the National Ocean Service. Though neither will do you very much good if there's a government shutdown, as there was right before the Banff conference, which meant that US waves were closed. One conferee told me it was a nightmare to get wave data out of the European Union. Quote, Europe is the worst in that respect because they'll make some of the data available, but they'll keep the rest because they think it has some commercial value. And so, well, we're not going to give this away because we can sell this instead to shipping companies. Unquote. Waves also have legal lives. One speaker reported that for the World Meteorological Organization, only wind seas and two swells are regulated in ship reports. So these are slides which layer wave spectrum analyses over a map of the Pacific, picking out only the legally the legally required aspects of waves, the things that need to be reported under the regulatory frameworks.